Hello, everyone. Can you hear me? Guess where I am? Let me know if you can hear me. I've got this little microphone and I don't even know what to do with it. Let me know in the chat if y'all can hear me. Good. I see some folks that raised their hand. Okay. I don't want to have to hold this though. That's the thing. Let's see if I can figure this out here. Make sure I got the right mic. Hold on. Kind of figure this out here. I think it goes around your ear. There we go. Ooh, fancy. Y'all can hear me okay? I think this is supposed to go. Yeah, this clips on here. So it's not. Okay. All right. Well, as you all can see, I'm at Corinne's house. And we have spent all day starting planning on No BS 2020. Y'all. Oh my gosh, just the work that we have already done in one day, it is going to be amazing. So I just can't wait to tell you all about it, but I can't say anything yet because everything's going to come out in January, but it's just going to be a bigger, better version of, you know, of No BS. And we're just streamlining a lot of things, simplifying a lot of things. And so it's just going to be amazing. So I can't wait to tell y'all more about that when it comes out. But we are here in Nashville, Corinne and Kathy and I, for the next few days doing No BS planning and just doing some other planning for 2020. So it's just going to be an epic year. I can't wait. So, all right, let's get everybody lined up here to coach. We have Jerry, Michelle, and Kelly so far. Oh, wait, here we go. Here's some more folks that raised their hands. So Jerry, Michelle, and Kelly, then Ellen, Carly, and Stephanie. That's what I got, but we'll see what happens. Jerry, Michelle, and Kelly, y'all are up first. Okay. And just going to make sure I can hear you all since this is not my computer. It's like, okay, am I just going to hear? Hold on. Okay. Oh, okay. Jerry. Are you coming up? Where are you, Jerry? Where did you go, Jerry? Well, I thought I made you a panelist. Oh, let's see. Okay. We're going to figure this out, y'all. Michelle, I'm going to bring you up and just make sure this is working. Let's see. I don't know why y'all aren't coming up as panelists. Just going to give it a second here to work. I don't know why I can't, y'all aren't up on the screen with me. That's so weird. Huh. Just give me a minute, y'all. I can't stand this mouse. Okay. Okay, y'all. Kelly, I'm going to try you. And then if that doesn't work, I'm going to get Corinne up here. We're going to get this figured out. There's Kelly. Okay. The other two, I don't know what happened to y'all, but raise your hand again. We'll get you on. Here you are. You there, Kelly?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I'm going to ask you to start your video.
Okay.
And then we'll...
Oh, can you do it again? I accidentally hit
the button. Okay. Sure. There you are. There There you are.
There we go.
Okay, I'm gonna turn you down a little bit. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, the rest of y'all raise your hand again. So I don't know what happened there. So, but I'm glad we got you on. So what's going on?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I listened, I went through Corinne's The Master Drinking Program a few months ago. It got interrupted because I had major surgery. And then I recently listened to Brooke Castillo's, I think it was 3 episodes on that.
Right.
And I've been going back through Corinne's and it's been awesome. And I think I'm really making some good progress. Mm-hmm. But I was wondering if you had any insight on, you know, and it applies with foods too, that are triggers. Is it better to kind of work my way down in amounts or to kind of start doing like 0, you know, days and trying that out? I just wasn't sure what's more effective, and neither podcast really talked about that, I don't think.
Well, I think it's interesting, right? Probably because there's not one way to do it, right? If they didn't tell you exactly what to do, it's probably like, you know, you kind of make that decision yourself in terms of, I mean, and that's kind of my answer, is that like, it's just, you've got to really just kind of either try both or try one, right? And see how it goes. So if you had to choose one of those, which one do you think that you would choose right now?
Right now, I kind of feel like I'm building my muscle around working with the urges, and I'm doing really well on that. I have not gone off track with food or drinking since I started really saying, okay, I'm not going to have a glass of wine until after 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. This is how much I'm going to have. That's it. Mm-hmm. And I've been following that exactly. And I noticed, even though I haven't been focusing like that on my food, I haven't been off plan with food. And I also, and then when I do have the urges, like, you know, if 5 o'clock's rolling around and it's like, is it not 6 o'clock yet? Would that darn time change? You know, that I'm writing down what I'm feeling, you know, mentally and emotionally. So I feel like I'm doing that good work. And so maybe I kind of build up. And and then one of the things I think Brooke Castillo maybe mentioned is to do things that really challenge yourself. No, it's actually from another book that I'm reading, Switch on Your Brain. She said to do things that, you know, are going to be hard for you. So I was thinking, like, with the holidays coming up, I have a family gathering and it's all my in-laws. And usually I was like, oh Lord, I need some wine to deal with this. Is like the next time it's like, you know, no, I'm not going to have any until it's over and they're gone, you know, and then even maybe Thanksgiving, I'm not going to have any before they come over in preparation. I don't have to do that. You know, I can.
So, yeah. So kind of what works for you when you do that and it works for you, right? I mean, let's become aware of what thought is working for you. I mean, you said something like, I don't need that or something like that, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, you know, and that's some of the things that I've written down, you know, because Brooke Castillo had mentioned writing down why you drink, and then, you know, are those real? And it's like, you know what, our holidays are always very nice. I don't need to drink to get through them. My in-laws are not terrible people. It's just, you know, something I think that, you know, the situation stresses me out.
And it stresses you. I mean, stress is a feeling, right? And it comes from your thoughts, right? It's not the people. It's not anything that's going on. It's all you. So, and you're just choosing to think instead, I don't need to drink to get through this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I wanted to kind of point that out because you want to challenge yourself, right? But you want to do it from a place of not from white knuckling through anything.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, as long as you're not white knuckling and you're just practicing allowing, right? Allowing the urges instead of resisting them, instead of white knuckling through them, then yeah, absolutely put yourself in situations where you can practice that and, you know, and not expect yourself to be perfect at it ever, but to absolutely practice it and then learn no matter what, right? No matter what the outcome is.
And that's what I was thinking. And then over time, hopefully my ability to do that will get stronger and stronger, and then it can be less and less.
But it'll always be a practice. right? It'll sure. always be a, you know, because there's never a time when you're just going to be perfect at it. I mean, there's probably going to be a time you're already pretty good at it, right? And you can definitely get better. But it's just, I think seeing it as a practice just really helps you kind of come from that compassionate place of, you know, I never have to be perfect at this. I can always be either succeeding or learning, always. I never have to fail. It's never a failure situation. It's always just a practice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to compare that to, like, you know, people have a yoga practice, or people have some other sort of practice, right? It's just, when you think of a yoga practice, it's like the point of having a yoga practice is not to be perfect at yoga eventually. It's just to always be learning and growing and doing more things. So, and that's what this can be as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're doing great. Yeah.
Thank you very
much. All right. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right. Let's see. Okay. It was Jerry. Jerry, I'm going to try to get you back on here again and see. See if we can get you back on here. There you are. Good. Okay. Work this time. All right. Let me ask you to start your video.
Oh, can you see me?
Hey there.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry about that. I tried to get you on earlier, right?
Yeah. It's somehow when you first come on, it throws me off for some
reason. Yeah. Yeah. That was weird. But okay. I'm glad we got you back on here. So what's going on?
Well, I've been married for 30 years. I had an anniversary recently. And we had some marital problems, and we have children. So my way of dealing with it was to go to work. And I worked a lot and went to grad school, and I worked nights and weekends. He worked weekdays. And I think we kind of got a divorce that way. Does that make sense? And then over the years, we were friends again somewhat. But whenever I took vacation, and the way I would deal with that was we'd go on some elaborate vacation and stay busy the whole time. Mm. And then I'd go back to work. And that's how, but this time I didn't take a vacation. I stayed home and I started hiring painters and staying busy. And anyways, we had a dispute or a problem, and he left. So in the middle of all that, I'm trying to figure out, how do I deal with all those feelings? It's like it just come at me like rapids. Usually I think I'd eat my way through it. Mm-hmm. And our anniversary would come, and we would go out to eat. And that's what we did. We went out to eat. And we couldn't get what we need from each other, so I would just eat my way through it. And that's how I gained all this weight. So now I'm like, how do I work the plan?
Yeah. So how do you think you work? I mean, you know, you're doing something different, right?
Yeah, I'm not eating my way through it.
You're not eating your way through it anymore. So if you had to guess, what do you think you need to do now?
Oh, Lord.
Or what are you doing, right? If you're not eating through it right now, what is going on?
I had a fight with my husband, I guess, you know, and then I found where he had gotten a lot of money from his job when he retired, and he had hidden it. Mm-hmm. And I found the money. And so when I came in the house, I said, well, when did you get all this money? I mean, it was quite a bit. It probably was a large number, you know, I don't know what he's been doing. And so that's what made him mad. That's what made him get his things and leave. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell him to leave. He left. Mm-hmm. So what am I doing?
Let's work your model here.
Okay.
So let's just say husband left. Yeah. Is your circumstance.
Yeah.
And so how are you feeling? What are you thinking about that right now?
Oh, sometimes I feel guilty because I was mean, and the other part of me is like, well, I hope he's doing okay, because he has Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. But he has family. I don't have any family, you know. And it was so bad that the kids had already picked sides, even though they were living with us.
Why do you feel guilty?
Oh, because I was mean. I said mean. Yeah.
Okay. Let's just stay with that one.
Okay.
I was mean, and you, do you wish you hadn't been mean, or do you?
Yeah, I wish that I had not been mean.
Okay. So let's make that. Wish I hadn't been mean. So you feel guilty, and you probably feel a lot of different things, but we're just going to focus on this one.
Yeah. Part.
Yeah.
I just right need now. To know how to work it out.
I wish I hadn't been mean.
Right.
So when you feel guilty, what are you doing right now? Are you just feeling guilty? Are you eating? Are you doing something else to kind of distract yourself?
Watching TV.
Watching TV?
Yeah. When I was working, I was like planning, and I bought a planner and had a yearly planner and a 3-month planner, and I was on it. And then when I came home, you know, the anniversary came, it was like he kept saying things, you know, telling me he loves me and all this other stuff. And it was like we went out to eat, and I just didn't know what to do with all of that, you know. And I still don't, you know. But so yeah, I'm watching TV. I haven't planned anything.
So you haven't planned anything?
I haven't. I haven't. I'm like, I don't even know what to, I mean, I'm kind of stunned. You know, I didn't give him the money. I hid the money in the closet.
Hid the money.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of watching TV, and my plan was I would plan and get back on the game, and then he'll either stay gone or he'll come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can do whatever he wants to do, right? We're focused on you, right? And how you're showing up now, right? And then how, you know, and whether this is how you want to show up or if you want to show up differently.
Well, my plan, I thought, well, I just have to have a plan to clean the garage out, and like, which is what got me in trouble in the first place, is that I wanted to clean that garage out, and mm-hmm. I really wanted him to help me. Mm-hmm. So my plan is I'm just going to keep cleaning the garage out, have a garage sale, and go to work on Monday and keep going the way I always do.
But are you allowing yourself to feel the guilt, or are you trying to keep yourself busy doing other things, or feel any of your feelings?
Well, I let myself feel the feelings. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem like it's going to do me any good, you know.
Why wouldn't it do you any good?
I don't know what to do with myself now, you know.
You just need to feel all your feelings?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Right,
and not, you know, and not watch TV, not, you know, get your food planned, right? Not clean out the garage. What if you just needed to sit and feel some feelings? Maybe that, what if that is the solution?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about that though? You don't look too thrilled about that option.
Well, I've been feeling them for so long, you know, kind of.
But you just said you've been going to work, and y'all go on these vacations, and you don't, you know, you're too busy. You're keeping yourself busy, right?
Right.
I don't think that you've actually allowed yourself to just feel everything.
Yeah.
You're staying busy doing all this stuff.
Right. But what am I going to do what do I do now?
I mean, it's just a matter of, and so this is kind of where I'm going to keep the model the same.
Right.
To the action line. And instead of, and we call all that stuff you were doing buffering, right? You're like buffering from feeling guilty, sad, all these other things that you might be feeling. And literally you're just going to practice feeling your feelings. You know, without buffering.
Without watching TV.
Without watching TV.
Or scrolling Facebook.
Or scrolling Facebook. Or cleaning out the garage. Or working. Or, you know, all this other stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah. And it's just like, and then your, I mean, your result is that you just practice feeling your feelings. And so this is a model where like the, you know, the result doesn't absolutely like, you know, connect with this thought, but it's just, you're just living in this model right now where it's right. just, it doesn't feel, I'm not saying this feels great, right?
Right.
But for you to move, to ever move forward, you've got to just be accepting of where you are right now and just practice feeling this negative stuff. And then you can eventually move forward and say, okay, if I didn't feel guilty anymore, how would I want to feel about, you know, the same thing, right? Your husband didn't tell you about the money, he left, all that stuff. That doesn't change. But right. I, you know, I just sat and just felt whatever came up for a while. And it just right. proved to your, you proved to yourself that you can handle anything, right? You don't have to buffer with work. You don't have to buffer with shopping or with
food,
you know, Facebook or anything else.
Right. Right.
And so it's just like, you don't want to move too quickly to the intentional model because, you know, it's just like, if you find yourself trying to get out of this, you know, this stuff too quickly, it just doesn't work.
Right.
And so it's just, it's, I think a time for you to just kind of just feel it all for a while. And I mean, you can take a break from feeling, right? You can take a break and watch a TV show or whatever.
Right.
But you just want to just be in it for a while. And I think for you, that will help you kind of clarify what you want to do next. You know, what your future looks like. Right. But if you're still covering up all these feelings, it doesn't help you move forward.
Right. That's true. Yeah. That's true. Okay. Well, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. So that's what, and so, and, you know, and you can do some journaling during this time, right? Just kind of how all this feels, what thoughts you're having, you know, you can do some models, post them and ask coaches, but just, you know, just really get to kind of know your feelings and how they feel in your body and kind of become friends with your feelings, right? You, as humans, we want to be able to feel anything and be okay, right? We don't want to have to cover up our feelings with food or, you know, work or anything.
Well, I kind of, you know, been feeling this way for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew that the way the kids were acting and everything that, you know, and when I would just accidentally catch the look on his face,
mm-hmm.
you know, around his family, and I realized how unhappy he was. But every time I would do the budget and try to figure out the money,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I just was slowly heading to, you know, to the door, mm-hmm. getting the house ready to sell and doing all that stuff, and he didn't seem to help. He was like getting in the way. And but when I found the money, I was like, well, why didn't you just work with me? You know, why didn't you? He's a lot older than me, so mm-hmm. you know, so
I just think for you, it's just, you know, he can do whatever he wants, right? He can make any choices. And I definitely encourage you to go through the relationships course if you haven't already.
I did, and it was talking about you feel, you know, and it made a lot of sense. It helped me a lot when it was with right. the kid.
Right. Yeah, you could even kind of review it with him in mind yeah. now.
Yeah.
And really think about, okay, do I, you know, what is my manual for him, right? What expectations do I have of him that he's not meeting? And, you know, how can I drop those, right? How can I just let him be do whatever he wants to do? And I get to show up the way I want to show up no matter what.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's where I'm.
And the first step in showing up for you is to practice feeling, you know, just feeling what you're feeling right now without covering it up.
Okay.
Okay. So that's just okay. kind of where you are right now. So why don't you just kind of work on that, do some journaling, post and ask coaches, or you can come back on here with it on another coaching call and give us an update.
Okay.
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 All right.
Thank you.
Take care, lady.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Okay. We got Carly, Stephanie, and Michelle. It is bright in here, y'all. I've got three computer screens, and they all have this white on them. So it's just bright. Okay. All right, Carly.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Okay, so I'm a September baby. This is my first coaching call, so yes. I'm kind of excited, and I've lost like 12 pounds so far.
Amazing.
But I'm going on vacation on Saturday.
And so there's no but you're going on vacation, and you're going on vacation, right?
Yes, 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 you're right. And I'm going on vacation, and okay. So it's a work trip for my husband, but it's really like a reward trip. He's in insurance. And mm-hmm. So basically everything is free, like alcohol, food, all of that. And we did it last year. And I think probably at that time I was coming off keto or one of those other diets. And I think I looked at it as a reward. Mm-hmm. And literally, like, I remember being so obsessed with what are we going to eat next? What am I going to drink? And I like to drink. So I've been kind of working on that a little bit too, mm-hmm. but I'm just like, I know I need to get like a protocol or plan, and I'm just feeling very like nervous and not confident that I can do this and not always be thinking about what am I going to eat and what
right.
am I going to eat.
I mean, I think for you, the thought, I mean, cause this it's a thought, like everything is free.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, and really asking yourself, is that true? Like, is everything free? I mean, you know, and it's, you know, redefining free, right? It's like everything has a cost, you know, everything that you put into your body has a cost, right? But I think when you think everything is free, and probably that's what was happening on the last trip, was basically like, this won't count because it's all free. You know, and you don't have to go on vacation to experience this, right? Like when people bring in donuts and, you know, in the office, or, you know, when someone says, hey, come to lunch, my treat. It's like, oh, but it's free.
Yeah.
But and that just kind of brings on those thoughts. Like it really doesn't count. It's, or I'll just get back on track, you know, after this and be, you know, and I deserve it, right? Like, you know, my husband has worked really hard, and, you know, and I'm his wife, so I deserve it. You know, whatever it may be, you know, you kind of get real creative with all these justifications, right? And so it's just recognizing that.
I dropped you.
Oh, there you go. That this, you know, this really could be a poison thought for you.
Everything I never really thought about. I didn't really think about it being free as that leading me to think. I got
probably like consciously you didn't realize that you're thinking of it that way. But with every little choice that you made, you're thinking, but it's free, and you created that own your own definition of free in your mind, not just you know, free of cost, of financial cost, but like free of emotional cost, physical cost. That kind of stuff.
And I don't want the emotional cost. Like I literally remember feeling like shit. Like, like we overate and overdrank, and you know, we're not young anymore. Like we can't.
You've got like very clear evidence of that didn't, you know, you want to do something different this time.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and that's great. Like that's good news, right? You have this evidence, okay, this didn't work for me. I want to do something different. So how do you want to think about this big vacation? You know, go ahead.
Well, I think I want to think of it as like, this is a good challenge for me to see if I can really do this when I'm out of my element. Cause I'm good on the weekdays. I'm not great at planning on the weekend. So when I don't have a plan, like, and I don't know what my day looks like, I do struggle. So I think this will be a good challenge. And I'm kind of hoping of planning things that are like go on a walk or listen to my podcast or read a book and not focus on, oh, I can have a pina colada whenever I want and there's unlimited amounts of wine. So I think a challenge and maybe trying to find other things to keep me occupied.
How about an opportunity instead of a challenge?
Okay.
Yeah. Like this is an opportunity for me to practice, right? I was talking about practice a minute ago where we're not talking about perfectly, right?
Right.
But this is an opportunity to practice what I've learned in B&B. Mm-hmm.
How do you get like, I feel like I'm in the kind of the right mindset now. And obviously this is helping a little bit more, but it's like when it's just sitting there and I can't even hold a conversation with somebody because I'm like literally thinking like what's on the menu and mm-hmm. I don't know. It just feels like I can't let go and even concentrate on talking to somebody when I know that there's all these things that I could be mm-hmm. having. Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I mean, first off, it's really good that you're recognizing this ahead of time, right? That you're aware of what happens in the moment. In terms of, you know, you kind of start white knuckling in the moment mm-hmm. when, you know, like you said, you kind of can't concentrate and you're resisting. You're basically resisting, you know, you're having an urge right then. And what you've done in the past is really white knuckle and resist through it. And so you want to practice allowing it. And there's a amazing 5-step process on allowing urges in the Buffering and Urges, the bonus course.
Okay.
So check that out on the website. I literally think it's on page like 6 or 7 of the workbook. But for you, it's a matter of like, there's a bunch of different things you can do in there, but it's, I think for you, it's visualizing because, you know, you've done this before, right? You've been on these vacations before, you know what it's going to be like. And so I want you to visualize ahead of time. Okay. I am sitting there, you know, at the table, we're about to order or, you know, get the food or whatever, what is it going to look like for me to, you know, follow my plan? That's the, you know, that's the action here, right? Like basically, you know, you're going to do a vacation protocol, vacation plan where you decide what you're going to do, right? You're going to allow, you know, you may allow some drinks, you may allow whatever you want, right? You can do whatever you want, but you're going to make some of those decisions ahead of time. And so what is it going to look like for you to do something different? What's it going to feel like, right? You know, you just described that, like all the, you know, it's hard for you to concentrate. You're having all these thoughts. And what do you need to do in the moment to do something different?
Okay. Do you think it would be helpful to make a plan the morning of every day when I know a little bit more? Like, I guess I think I can handle the food. Mm-hmm. I think the drinks will be harder. But I also don't want to like plan so that I let myself down, if that makes sense.
But here's the thing. I mean, you know there are going to be drinks, right? You know there are going to be unlimited drinks. It's not like you need to get there to know that, right? I mean, you could plan. You still plan ahead of time. But that can all be part of your vacation protocol. I mean, you can decide to plan ahead of time how many drinks you want to have. You can plan the day of. That's all your decision to make. But you just want it to come from a place of, this is my opportunity to practice, you know, what I've learned to practice doing something different. That was a big power thought for me when I was losing weight was, you know, I'm just going to do something different this time. And, you know, and it's going to be a little uncomfortable and all this stuff, right? It was that visualization of like, I know that this is going to feel icky in the moment, but I'm committed to this. And, you know, you go back to your compelling reasons and all the, you know, why you want to do all this, why you want to do something different. So, yeah. And so, yeah, it's just like all those decisions you want to make ahead of time. So whether you decide to plan your drinks now or to plan them the day of. Just make that decision. And so then you're not going back and forth in your head about it.
My husband told me I'm only allowed to get business drunk. So that will help. Because I think that's like, I think for me, that's like three to four drinks.
Okay. Well, that is like, is it three or is it four, right? You got to be specific. But let's finish out this model here real quick. So how, because I want to get to the feeling lines. So how does this feel? This is an opportunity to practice what I've learned and to do something different. How does that feel when you think that?
I think I'm a little scared, but empowered. Can I be both?
Yeah. I mean, that's where I wanted to get to. Like, this is not a, you know, rainbow and daisies model here, right? Where it's just like, oh, I'm confident. Let's do this. You know, it's like, yeah, you're going to have some fear and do it anyway. You're going to have some nervousness or whatever. But what did you say? What was the other one?
Like empowered.
Like I can.
I think if I do have a plan and I keep reminding myself of that, I think I can get through this.
Yes.
And be proud.
Right.
Which is ultimately what I want.
But it's totally normal to feel a little bit scared too, right? Because you're doing something new. And so it's you not making that, you know, those feelings mean anything about you, right? It's totally normal to feel scared when you're doing something new, but you do it anyway. And that's like that's one of the most powerful things you can do is to do something despite having, right, some fear. And so it proves to your brain that, oh, wait a minute, just because we feel fear doesn't mean that that we shouldn't do it, you know, or that it's something that, you know, we should avoid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm reading that Everything is Figure Outable that Lynn's been reading. And it there's a whole chapter on fear, and it says fear is your soul's GPS. So, and it's all about like making friends with fear. Like fear is just trying to protect you, that feeling, right? It's just your primal brain trying to protect you, thinking that you're getting chased by a tiger, you know, way back when. And okay. So it's just a signal that you're kind of doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, when you feel a little bit of fear, like what if you felt fear and you're like, oh, well, that means I'm doing the right thing. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because it's, you know, it's great for us to do, you know, to practice doing things that we're scared of and doing them anyway. So this is an amazing opportunity for that. So the result is that you make a vacation protocol, you plan. I mean, there's probably going to be some mistakes in here, right? Make mistakes and learn from them. Do your recovery worksheets, right?
Yeah.
And then the result is that, you know, you take advantage of your opportunity to learn. And you just learn so much about, you know, doing, you know, practicing what you've learned, making mistakes, learning from them, doing something different, you know, just it's a practice in imperfection, all that kind of stuff. So everything that we do can be an opportunity to learn. It, you know, we always say you're either succeeding or you're learning, right? There's no failure.
Yeah, I actually wrote that down when you were talking to, I think, Kelly, because I really like that. I don't want to say like I'm gonna fail. I want to say I'm gonna learn from this, and that will help me not like fall off the wagon.
Right. So, like say, oh, I failed, you know, F it. Yeah. Let's just fall into, you know, everything. Because it's free. Right.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask you a different question?
Sure.
About, so when I'm doing my assessments for the day, whenever I get to the question about like, have you met your plan or did you follow your plan? I think sometimes I might swap a snack or, you know, maybe I'll have a glass of wine. And then I like feel like I'm either yes, but I had a glass of wine, or no, not 100%. And I'm caught up in this like 100%. And I've talked to my accountability group about writing like good, better, best, or maybe like two bites of something, which might be my kids' you know, chicken nugget. So I could just, I know there's two bites and I get to choose what those are. I just didn't know if you had any like thoughts about the meeting the plan 100% and how that might be derailing.
Well, I think you talking about 100% is basically just another word for perfect. It's perfectionism kind of thinking. And it's like, what if it's all about what you make? If you put no in that box, what do you make that mean about you?
I think that's the hard part, because I'm like, I know I need to assess. And if I think I just do no all the time, and if I'm doing like a habit tracker app and every day it says no, because I might've had one bite of, you know, three macaronis, like, am I saying no, I wasn't accountable all day? And I don't feel good about saying no, because I think I probably did pretty well, but I'd rather have like an A minus.
But I think you're thinking like, I mean, we would rather you have no in that box and be honest, right? Okay. Because, I mean, if you have an extra glass of wine, no, you didn't follow your plan. But if you had three bites of macaroni, no, you didn't follow your plan. It's about being honest with yourself, right? I mean, why would you not be honest with yourself? I mean, how is that going to help you to just pretend that you followed your plan when you really didn't?
Yeah, I think you're right.
But it's all about what you make not following the plan mean, right? We talk about this, you know, either success or learning. It doesn't mean you failed that day if you didn't follow the plan. You learned something, right? That's why we have you do the recovery worksheets.
So is it okay if I learn like, okay, I'm going to plan two bites?
Yeah.
Because that's maybe more realistic than overeating or eating off plan.
Right.
4 days. And
that day you may have just learned, you know what? I need to plan. If I am really going to want to have two bites of the macaroni, I need to plan that for tomorrow.
Okay.
And just be realistic and be honest with yourself. And it's all about meeting yourself where you are. And that's being honest and not judging what you're judging where you are, right? You're judging that you're eating those three bites. And that's why you don't want to, you know, you don't want to be honest about it. And it's like, what if you were absolutely just supposed to eat those three bites so you could learn that you need to put three bites on your plan for the next day, or you need to practice not eating the three bites and allowing the urge.
Yeah. Right? I feel like there's some weird science to like putting a piece of candy on my plan and then being like, ooh, I'm not eating that piece of candy because I don't really want it. So like that, I think that almost works like reverse psychology for me. Like, so maybe adding it for now and just seeing if I really need it. Cause it makes me think like, okay, do I really want to take a bite of macaroni? Like it's probably not even that good and it's cold. So
that's the whole point of a realistic plan, is when it's on the plan, it's not near as exciting to do. Right. Like, you know, grabbing a few bites here and there is just like, you know, behind your own back is a lot more fun and exciting than like, if you have three bites on the plan, it's like, well, do I really want those three bites? No. So that's the magic of it. That's the weird science. That's the psychology of it, is that when it's on the plan, it's not near as enticing to do. And you're just like, this is not. Yeah. And so then eventually when you follow your plans enough times, and when you allow urges enough times, you can say, okay, I can take those three bites off. I don't want those. I'm not going to have those. And so that's the process of kind of leveling up very gradually.
Okay. So I'll be honest with myself. 100%
thing. What'd you say?
I'll be honest with myself and realistic in my planning.
Yes. Because it never helps to not be honest with ourselves, right? I mean, that just never benefits us.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful.
All right. Good question. Okay. All right. See ya.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Miss Stephanie. There you are.
Hello.
Hi.
Here
you are. Hi. Yeah, so good to see you. You're in China, right? Oh, you're signaling. Okay.
6 o'clock, 5. Okay. In the morning.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right.
Here, and it's a beautiful day.
Awesome. Okay, what's going on?
Okay, and I apologize for my internet. It might stick a little bit because I have to VPN
Okay.
So I'm calling to talk about boys because that's just where I'm at in my life. and I always feel, I don't know. I have a lot of tangled emotions, so I might need your coach's eyes to help me pull out like what's actually important. But long story short, I've been seeing this guy for about a month. He's given every indication that he's interested. He reaches out, he initiates, we hang out. I think there's been 1 week in five that we didn't meet up. And when we do, we're together for, you know, at least an entire day, whether that spans 2 days or just one. And he texts all these things, just incredibly sweet man. And so this last weekend when we hung out, I came away going like with all these little things that he did that were so kind, like giving me his clothes because I had just my Halloween outfit this weekend. It was cold outside. And so I went away being like, okay, I think I want to level up this relationship. So I feel like as soon as I had that thought of he's actually someone I'm not just interested in, I would like to walk down this road a little, like explore what this is. I felt I'm like, oh my God, now the stakes are so much higher. And if I tell him anything, it's going to be, you know, scare him away.
Okay.
And so it was just like escalation, emotional escalation with this like one thought.
Okay.
And I see that it's unhelpful, but I don't see. Oh, I'm, yeah.
Okay. And, I'm
and it would be potentially. Oh, yes.
Okay, I'm going to take you off your video just because maybe the signal will be a little bit better, but we'll just keep talking. Okay.
Fair.
Because you're cutting out quite a bit. So, okay, so the stakes are so much higher. Why are the stakes so much higher?
Because I am more emotionally invested, or I wish to be more emotionally invested, and because of that, I'm more vulnerable, and because I'm more vulnerable, there's more risk. And that's a little scary.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, you're just feeling fear, right?
I am.
Yeah.
It's nervous.
I mean, it's just, but it's so this book I'm talking about, Everything is Figure Outable, which is just amazing. And this, I mean, just the specific one chapter. So basically it, and I think, no, actually that isn't that chapter. It's the first chapter in the book where it has you go like basically what is holding you back from, you know, achieving your dreams. Right. And there's this list of questions. And for you, it's just, it's the perfect homework for you because it's, I mean, the fear is holding you back, right? The fear is keeping you from, it's just kind of keeping you stuck and keeping you. So, I mean, okay. So you're scared. So what? What's the worst that could happen? That's the question. What's the worst that could happen?
The worst thing that can happen is like, I am not interested in pursuing that with you. And then we go our separate ways.
But
my ex-husband. So, I mean, like I technically have been through the worst thing.
You're here, right? You're not dead or pregnant, as far as I know.
Thank God, I'm not pregnant. Very true.
So yes. Is it really that bad, right? Is it really that scary? You've been through it before. You can handle it. Right. And the worst that can happen is a feeling, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You talk about being vulnerable. You talk about being, it's a risk, right? You know, but it's, you know, the worst that could happen is that you, like, how did you feel when you got divorced? What was the worst feeling?
The worst feeling was actually 2 years prior. Because by the time it actually happened, I was very relieved. We had made a decision. Mm-hmm. But the worst that would happen was that I wasn't able to make it work. Mm-hmm.
How'd that feel? What was the feeling there?
Was very, very disappointing. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that's not the right strong word for it. Like a failure. I was really disappointed. I was disappointed myself. I felt he was disappointed. So yeah, I guess that encapsulates it. It was disappointing.
And you felt disappointed, right? Like I was talking about with Jerry about feeling her feelings, right? Where it's just like the worst thing in the world that can happen is a feeling. And you've been through a lot of them already. You handle it.
Yes.
And so, but let's finish this model up first. When you feel, when you think, okay, let's say relationship right now, or decision to move forward with the relationship, maybe. When you make, like you, it sounded like, you know, you made that decision. And then you immediately started thinking, oh, the stakes are so much higher now, right?
Yes.
And you felt fear. So what do you do when you feel fear? So what are you doing right now or not doing?
I am. Sorry, my cat's being loud. I am replaying everything from the date and overanalyzing it.
Okay, overanalyzing.
I am trying to deconstruct all of his possible motives in a misguided effort to see, you know, is even broaching the subject a wise decision? So I'm trying to hedge my bets, I guess.
Or overanalyzing, we could kind
more
of
that off. Let's go overanalyzing. Yeah. Most of a lot of overanalyzing is happening.
More analyzing your analyzations.
Yes, exactly. For real. And then second guessing my own self.
Right.
You know, I didn't have great judgment before. Is this going to be the same kind of thing?
Right.
And then,
so you become like weird, the weird girl, like the crazy weird girlfriend girl or you know, date.
Yeah.
Right?
And then I do the silly thing. Like I try to strategize. I don't even know what I'm strategizing, but I'm like, oh my God, should I send him a text? Is that suddenly neat and like more needy than it was last week when I sent him a text? He didn't care.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And so basically it's like you're creating more stakes, right?
Yes.
I mean, you, like, if the stakes weren't high before, they certainly are now because you're your weird Stephanie, you know, date. You're the weird date.
Stephanie, Betsy, I want to be my awesome self.
Right. So let's do that, right?
Okay.
I'm my awesome self. That is your.
Yes. I want to show
result.
Yes. I want to be authentic.
Yes.
Everything for. Yes.
Yes. So what do you need to do? Let's just work up the model. What do you need to do to be your awesome self?
I need to. Not overanalyze everything. I need to take things at their word. I need to take him at his word.
Yes. Probably, I mean, maybe is this stuff that you were doing before? You know, you kind of, you made this decision to want to move forward?
We haven't had that conversation. Mm-hmm. It was just after this last weekend with some of these like very smaller, tender moments, mm-hmm. I came to the realization that I would like to move forward. So mm-hmm. now it's like, okay, now it's time to, you know, see if that's still the case or was it kind of a one night feeling and then initiate that conversation.
Yeah.
Without being in limbo.
But I mean, it's just like, but it's, you know, it's like, it's the relationship doesn't have to change one bit, right? From what it was before.
Right.
It's
right.
Just, you know, you just, you're still Stephanie, you're still, and you're being like your awesome self in that you're like feeling some fear, because there's still going to be some fear here. I'm not saying, you know, there that fear just disappears, right? But like you're being your awesome self and feeling, you know, feeling some fear and some vulnerability and doing it anyway, right? And kind of coaching yourself through that where you're not being, you know, you're not overanalyzing when you, I mean, you know, you're going to have the urge to do that, right? It's almost like managing urges to overanalyze.
Yeah.
And all of that, right? I mean, this is a practice. This is not just you just, you know, magically move over to this intentional model. Right. But yeah, you like recognize when you're overanalyzing. What was the other action?
Second guessing.
Like when you hear yourself second guessing, you're like, no, I'm awesome Stephanie, and I don't second guess or overanalyze because I don't want to be the weird girl. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's like this redirection, right? It's this practice. Yeah. And so from that, so what you've got, still got some fear here, but we all have fear all the time, right? And we do things anyway, and that's how we change our life basically. And yeah. So you've got the fear, but what else have you got here that is part of your awesome self already?
For actions, I am.
No. For feelings.
Feelings. I'm excited. I'm excited and I'm curious.
Excited, curious. One of my favorite things is when I feel, I call it nervously excited. It's basically a combination of fear and excitement, right? It's like when I feel that, I know exactly how it feels in my, you know, I get butterflies and all of that. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I need to be doing right now. Because I need to feel more of this, right? This, you know, it's like this, you're excited, but you're scared at the same time, but you're doing it anyway. And again, those, when you feel that fear, when you feel those feelings, that is when, you know, when change happens, when life happens. And okay, love that. So instead of the stakes are high, so you made this decision that you want to move forward. You want to see where it goes.
Yes.
So what do you need to be thinking about to feel some fear, some excitement, some curiosity?
I would like to think that I want to think that I want to pursue this to see where it goes. I want to.
That doesn't sound very exciting. I'm kind of kidding with you, but it's just like, no, it can just be something like, let's, you know, I just want to see where this goes.
Yeah. And I want to have that conversation because there is something that I want, and I don't like living in limbo. So I want clarity on the situation.
So I like it to have I want in it, right? Yeah. I want you, is it I want to have clarity, or I want to see where this goes, or
seeing where it goes sounds really vague. Like there's no, I want forward momentum. I want clarity.
I want clarity. Okay.
I do.
But you know that clarity is a feeling.
Okay.
That comes from your thoughts.
Okay.
So it's not that him saying something is going to give you clarity.
Sure.
Yeah.
So maybe something better is I want to have a conversation. I want to be bold and have a conversation.
Okay.
So I know where I stand and where I can, where I'm going. That's a lot of rambling.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get it out and pare it down.
Let's see. I want to, let's see. Have a conversation is down here in the action line.
That's true.
Yeah.
So in general, I want to be bold and authentic. That is what I
go. There we go. I want to be bold and authentic. And again, I love that that doesn't have anything to do with him, right? I mean, right. He can, you know, he can respond in any way that he wants to. He can, that's not dependent on him, right? You're bold and authentic no matter what, just by doing these things. By, you know, having the conversation, by taking him at his word, not managing your urges to, you know, to overanalyze and all of that.
Right.
So it's just like, you know, that these are the best models when there's, you know, especially with relationships, right? It's like, He is nowhere in here.
Yes.
And he can't be, right? Other than, you know, you're in a relationship, you know, you're in a relationship with him or you're seeing him or whatever it is. I mean, he can be in the sea line, but that's it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're, you know, it's, you know, all in all a relationship is thought, you know, thoughts in our mind about the other person.
Right.
And so, it just, when we know that we have the power to have a relationship with anyone that we want and we never even have to speak to them again or see them again or anything, It just gives the power back to us.
Right.
Yeah. So, All right. I think this is a good model for you to kind of move forward with.
It is. No, that's really helpful to get it out and untangle it. I feel I've done like 12 models on it and I'm just like TDLing everything, but this helps.
And I mean, it might be interesting for you to kind of separate out these feelings, you know, into separate models, and you could have some other thoughts that could come like, okay, what's the fear? You know, what thought is, you know, what, where's the fear coming from, right? What thought is creating the fear, but I do this stuff anyway. Right. Okay. Where it's just like, okay, I'm scared, but I'm going to do it anyway or something. You know, you could separate out the feelings into separate models. And, you know, I sometimes put multiple feelings and stuff on, but you know, we want y'all to stick with one feeling if you can. It's just all a practice of uncovering your thoughts. Right. And so just being curious about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's really helpful.
All right. Well, keep us posted on everything and how it goes.
Very well.
I'm okay.
Sure. I'm talking about this boy already. can I ask a small follow-up question?
Sure.
That's totally unrelated.
Yeah.
+2. Mm-hmm. So I'm stupendously good at waiting for hunger. I have no problem with that. And will just because of work day and schedule and where I'm at or whatever, you know, it's easily maybe 5 to 6 hours, sometimes more before, you know, between meals. Mm-hmm. And I usually eat twice a day and I'm fine with that. I don't feel deprived, anything like that. I don't anymore eat till I'm full because That's uncomfortable. And I want to enjoy my food more and I want to enjoy how I feel. But now as I'm trying to like dial back, like I still have maybe 10 to 15 pounds to lose to get to me where I feel I want to be. I'm having trouble identifying the +2 because I'm not eating till I'm full. So I know that's when I've gone over, and I'm not eating until like I'm satisfied, but I'm always like, but I could be satisfied after like 3 or 4, but I feel for me, it's gotten more ambiguous and I'm not really sure how to pin it down. Like how is too little? And I feel like if I eat like an open faced bagel sandwich, for example, I can eat that whole sandwich, which, you know, slice of bagel, avocado, an egg and chicken. And I can eat the whole thing and be tided over fine until dinner, like 6 hours later. I could eat 3 bites less and still kind of be fine. And so I'm having trouble pinpointing exactly where that is. What strategies can you give me to help me find it and lose that weight that I still need to lose?
Yeah. So I think for you, it's just like you said, you know, you could be fine, right? As a, you know, like if you left back those 3 bites. And I think for you, it's probably like that is your +2. And so you're probably going, you know, you've been going over it a little bit. maybe just to like 2.5 or something. And so for the whole thing for you right now is just to keep really good data in terms of like how you feel at the end of every meal, how long that meal lasts you, right, until you get to the next meal, and you know whether you you know, you leave a few bites behind or not, and just really just analyzing all of that data very closely in terms of, okay, you know, this is how I feel today. I'm going to stop eating right now. This is how I feel. These are my physical symptoms. And then you time how long that lasts you. And then you, you know, and it's just staying curious with all of that data and just figuring out that, I mean, probably, I think probably what's happening, you're just eating a few extra bites at each meal.
Okay.
And so it's just kind of figuring out like, and then, you know, and then like, okay, you know, it's probably like you're going to have to allow a little bit of hunger, you know, more than you have in the past, right? Okay. Before the next meal. And, but you know, you can handle it, right? I mean, and we're not talking about, you know, getting to a negative 4 or 5, you know, at every meal, but right, it's just, you know, you just got to stay curious with it and say, okay, do I really need a couple more bites, or could I use this as an opportunity to practice seeing how I feel after this meal, seeing how long it lasts me, allowing some hunger, and then just kind of playing around with that.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a clear answer, right? Because I mean, everyone is different, and you've just got to stay curious and keep really good data. And then and then consistently, you know, whether it's the end of a few days or the end of the week, you go back and analyze that data and say, okay, what can I learn from this? You know, what worked for me, what didn't work for me, and how can I practice more of what worked?
Okay. I can, that's helpful. I can be more specific in the data that I'm tracking.
That you're collecting. Yeah.
To find. Okay. Yeah.
And then just overall, just recognizing that it's never going to be, you know, 100% figured out, right? It's always going to be a practice and curiosity and making mistakes and learning from those and all that kind of stuff too.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
Well, I appreciate it.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, bye. Let's see. Okay. Okay. Michelle, I'm going to get you on here because I think you were one of the first ones that didn't quite work. Hello, there you are. Hi, let's see. Are you there? Oh, I can't hear you. Oh, hold on. I can't hear you. Hold on. Oh, hold on. Okay, hold on. Are you there? No, I can't hear you. Oh, shoot. Okay, look in your settings or come, you know, go back out and come back in. Look at your settings. Raise your hand again. And I'll get you on, okay? Okay. Yeah, I couldn't hear. I'm always scared that whether I have my thing on mute, but I don't. Okay, Lena, I think that's how you, Lena, Ellen, and Christy. Gosh, all the time just always goes by so fast. All right. I think it's Lena. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Just ask you to start your video.
Okay.
Are you there? There you are. Hi. Is it Lena? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Lena.
Okay. All right. All right.
I was in the other room. I was thinking I wasn't going to have time to hop on here. But now I'm next.
Yes.
So this is my first coaching call. I joined in April.
Awesome.
I'm a little bit nervous. And I'm here just because I'd like some support around nighttime eating that I'm kind of grappling with. Something you said a couple of calls people ago was helpful. I think I'm really judging my lack of progress. Mm. It's like middle of the night eating. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote in a couple weeks ago to ask coaches There's a lot of emotion around it that I'm trying to dial down. Basically, I'm going back and forth. Like, I put it on my plan, and then that doesn't really feel right. Eventually, I'm wanting to get to the place where I can consistently just, like, wake up. I wake up really in a lot of fear. It's like a panic attack that happens mm-hmm. while I'm sleeping. And it's like habit brain central.
So why doesn't it feel right to put it on the plan?
Mostly I feel, so this has been going on for like decades. I feel bad in the morning. I feel like hungover from the food. I'd like to be able to feel the fear in my body, use my breath, and go back to sleep, which I have been able to do. Mm-hmm. But it's very inconsistent, and the behavior's really kicked up lately.
But why? But you really didn't answer my question. Why okay. does it not feel right to put it on the plan first?
Because I just want to not be doing it. Yeah. I want to be able to sit with the urge.
Yeah. But what if it was required to have it on the plan first to, for you to,
like, for longer than I want. I mean, I have put it on the plan, mm-hmm. but then that's, yeah.
It's okay. not going according to your totally made up schedule, right? Of how long it should take to, you know, to figure this out. Right.
Right.
And it takes as long as it takes. But you're totally right in that you're judging, like you're judging yourself first that you do it at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And that is the whole point of putting it on the plan, is helping you to not, when you see it on your plan as just, this is something I'm planning, right? This is something I'm doing.
This is something I'm doing already.
This is something I'm doing in front of my, right, not behind my own back anymore. That this is something that I am doing for myself. This is helping me. Like, this is, I am doing.
I plan for it. It's helping me.
Yeah, when you plan for it, right. When you put it on your plan, it's an exercise in accepting yourself where you are. Basically loving yourself where you are, right? And that's where you have to be first. You have to accept yourself where you are, right? You can't hate yourself we say you can't hate yourself down the scale. You can't hate yourself into not overeating at night anymore. Like, you can't hate it so much that you quit doing it, right? That it's the opposite. You have to love yourself into not doing it. It's like the opposite, right? We think that if we just hate it enough that we'll quit doing it, but it's like that's counterintuitive, right? That's the opposite, right? It's like we have to just, like, it's okay that we're doing this right now.
Okay, so I need to make peace with it.
Yeah, you got to make peace with it. Yeah, and the first step with that is being just honest and, you know, accepting and meeting yourself where you are, and that's putting it on the plan. So
it's a ton of food, but okay. Yeah, I get, yeah.
And that's another judgment, right? It's a ton of food.
At like 1 a.m.
Yeah. But it's part of you right now. It's what you do right now, and it's okay.
Okay.
And that, it's a practice. Kind of the theme tonight has been practice, right?
Yeah. No, and
it's for you to believe that, right? To believe that it's okay.
I mean, the emotion, I think, is just, there's like this relief of like, yeah.
What if I don't have to hate myself?
Right.
That I do this.
Or just feel like so ashamed and awful. I mean, the self-talk has gotten better. I've definitely done like a lot of journaling and models around it. Just like what I ate in the circumstance line, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So for you, it's just something like, you know, it's okay. Or it could even be like a latter thought of like, I'm working on believing that it's okay that I do this right now.
Okay. Okay.
And I mean, it, And this has got to be, I mean, you've got to have compassion. You know, and I don't want to say you've got to have that feeling, but right, I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
That's the goal, just, yeah.
And,
right, well, also, it's a really scared little place in me that it's coming, yeah. The behavior's coming from, where yeah. Just like the scared little girl.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's scary to do something different, right? To dislike, to think something different. I mean, you've protected yourself for so long by just beating yourself up about this, that it's wrong, right? That you shouldn't be doing it. And if and you're doing something different and you're moving into acceptance, that's scary, right? That's just like, that's just a scary thing to do something different. But it's also like bringing you that relief, right?
Yeah, no, I just feel this opening in my heart of like, oh, like it can just be easier.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, what if this, I mean, what if even this, you know, this is, we talk about binging.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what if there's an amazing video in the
title. I've watched it.
You watched
it
3 times.
Yeah.
I'll like, what if, again, though. What if binging doesn't have to stop, right?
Right. So that one, sub, like, what if my night eating doesn't have to stop?
What if it doesn't have to stop? What if it is okay that you do it? What if it's okay? I mean, first off, what if it's okay that you do it every night now? And then you work on it. And maybe you do it every other night, and that's okay.
Okay. And well, it's happening every night right now. So, so it's okay that I do this every night.
It's okay.
I mean, my weight loss kind of has to go to the side, but mm-hmm. It's also, there's an, I don't know if it's the same video or another video. It's like, I need to make peace with this more than I need to drop yes. The pounds I want to drop actually.
And we definitely, you know, we've done some call where, you know, you may have to, it's like, sometimes you got to make that decision, right? It's like, okay, right. What do I want to work on right now? Do I want to work on this or weight loss? And they kind of are two separate things. And
yeah. This. Like,
yeah, you want to work on this. And so, yeah. So, and the first step in that is putting it on the plan and really moving into acceptance. So it's.
And practicing that thought that it's okay that I do this.
Mm-hmm. And then I like curiosity here too, where it's just, or openness, right? And that's kind of what you're doing right now. Like you're literally just practicing opening up to new possibilities. You know, I don't have to hate myself that I do this. I don't have to beat myself up every night. I have other options. So that's where you want to live for a while is
right. Okay.
Is this, this place, but it's again, it's where you have to start to start moving forward.
Okay. It.
But yeah, and it's just being okay that yeah, you never have to quit doing it, and you can love yourself through any and all of it. Love is always an option. We can always choose love. Always.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Keep.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.
Bye. Okay, Michelle. See if you got that sound fixed. And I'll post the video, y'all. I'll post the video in the show notes about it's called What If Binges. Okay. Are they? I can't hear you. I still can't hear you. You don't have like mute on your side turned on. Okay, let me make sure that I haven't done. Okay, let me mute and then unmute. Okay, no. Nope, I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Okay, you can put something in the Q&A if you want to. Okay, sorry. Okay, we've got Ellen, Christy, and Carolyn. Okay. Are you there, Ellen? There you are.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks.
Good, what's going on?
Well, it's a lot of what Lena was talking about is I haven't figured out what to do about nighttime binging.
About your what? I'm sorry.
Nighttime binging.
Okay. So what did you learn from her call? Let's start there.
About the practicing and acting with love, mm-hmm. acting out of love. Mm-hmm. And I've practiced some different things. I've practiced planning it. Mm-hmm. I've looked into doing no sugar, no flour, because I'm very, very sensitive to glycemic indexes, if you will. I know a lot of the reasons that I eat at night is loneliness and boredom, mm-hmm. and also exhaustion. And when I'm tired and, you know, well, yeah, I could go to bed and lose my job, or I could keep working, and that type of thing. So I'm just...
Because you work at night? Is that what's going on?
I've come to realize that my life is, the constant thing about it is that I'm constantly being put into positions to put out fires, if you will. So I'll get a last minute urgent task at, you know, 7 o'clock at night to work through that has to be ready. I'm in California. Mm-hmm. It has to be ready at 7 a.m. in Florida. Mm-hmm. And stuff. I'm actually in a transition right now, and I've been doing some consulting. And that's part of the anxiety too. And what do I do as far as, even buying food, and healthy food and making better choices and that piece into it. Mm-hmm. Kind of like when you're broke, you shouldn't, there's that shitting, mm-hmm. you know, you shouldn't be spending money on booze. Well, when you're broke, you shouldn't be spending money and applying for food stamps. You shouldn't be spending money on ice cream. Hmm.
Okay. So what do you want to work on then?
I want some, I want some help figuring out what tool to use. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so give me an example of what happens when you overeat at night. Like, just give me an example, like with, you know, with work or whatever it is.
Last night was really weird, and what I ended up eating was I had made a pumpkin bread that actually didn't even turn out. I need to throw it out, but I wanted something warm. I wanted, you know, that little glucose kick to keep on going, because I'd had a couple of phone calls and stuff that got in the way of finishing something in an hour. Didn't get finished till midnight. Mm-hmm. And so even though it was completely disgusting, went downstairs and heated it up and put on a couple of tablespoons of butter on it to have something warm.
Do you believe that food helps you do your job better?
Yes.
So that's your thought, right?
Yeah.
Food helps me do my job. Is that true?
I don't know how we would test that one.
I do. When you want to eat, you don't, and you do your job anyway. Like last night, you had the urge for, you know, so you got a call that came in. Mm-hmm. You got an urge for that pumpkin bread stuff, and you don't eat it, and you get to work.
And then it ends up being more procrastination. Mm-hmm.
But you can do your job without food. You've just got to prove to yourself that you can. Right? I mean, I want you to argue with me if you don't think I'm right.
I don't know. And that's scary.
Yeah. Right. Like you haven't tried scary. That.
I mean, yeah. I don't get paid for my looks. I get paid for my brain. Mm-hmm. you know, I get paid to think, I get paid to write. I don't get paid for my looks or for being somewhere.
So you've got, you got a lot of reasons to keep eating, right? You're giving, yeah. You keep giving yourself all these reasons to just keep overeating. I don't have to look a certain way for my job. Yeah. I just need to do my job. But, and you think that you need food to do your job.
I think I need food to nutrition, glucose to push through.
Mm-hmm. But that's just a thought.
And a habit.
And a habit. So you could absolutely question that, right? And try something new. Because right now you're totally justified in your overeating right now. I mean, you think you need it to do your job. And so it's just, it's time to see if you could still do your job without it. If that's what you want, right? You have to decide what you want. Do you want to lose weight? You want to do something different. You want to face your fears, right? You want to do something new, and that's scary, right? We talked about that all night.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, basically changing your life means doing something you've been scared of doing, and you face your fears and you do it anyway. That's how we change our lives. That's part of the deal, right? If change of our lives was easy, we'd all be doing it. You know, we'd all be 150 pounds. And, you know, if this losing weight thing was just easy peasy, we wouldn't be here, right? I wouldn't have a job.
Yeah.
And so, but we do things scared all the time. And this is just another thing.
What about some of the other nights where it's just loneliness?
Mm-hmm. It's feeling the feelings, right? You've been overeating to cover up those feelings, whether it's loneliness, whether it's anxiety with your job and those kind of things. It's like, you know, that's part of it too, where you're just eating to, you know, we call that buffering, right? You're just buffering your feelings. You're covering up your feelings with food. So that's what's happening there for sure. It may not be connected to work all the time, but it's just, you know, and so, and that's where fear comes into, where, you know, the alternative is to just feel lonely. Have you done that before? Tried that before? Just to feel lonely. It's okay to feel lonely sometimes, right?
Yeah, I have a really, really deep feeling of loneliness, though. Mm-hmm. And I deal a lot with major, major depression. Mm-hmm. So talking about sitting there feeling your feelings, I mean,
that's another thing that's really scary, right?
What does that look like? Sitting alone and figuring out what the last day of my life's going to look like, because that's where I go.
Yeah. It might, you know, I was telling earlier, it's when we feel fear, I mean, we're scared of doing something. We want to ask ourselves what's the worst thing that could happen? What is the worst thing for you? It may be sitting there and thinking about the last day of your life. It may be going and sinking into a, you know, going into a depression. Right? We have to, when we're feeling fear, we don't let ourselves go to the place that we're so scared of, because we're trying to protect ourselves. And for you, yeah, it may, but you've done that before, right? And you've come out the other side. Still here, right? I know that you've survived it, at least, right?
Yeah.
It probably didn't feel good at all in the moment.
And the last
I'm not saying it was, you know, it was a pleasant experience at all, But life is not all about pleasant experiences, right? We have to do some things that don't feel good sometimes to grow and move forward with our lives. So I think for you, it's just, I mean, it's not just going out and doing everything that you're scared of doing right now, but it's just opening up your mind to, okay, what if I just felt scared of this, but I just practice doing it anyway. And just thinking about that right now, right? Just kind of pondering that. What's going through your head? What are you thinking?
I think I would rather go back to drinking.
Mm. Something to think about, right?
I think I would rather go back to drinking. Because the last time I went through it, I quit drinking, and then working, you know, with the people I was working with, you know, their answer is always, oh, well, it's better, you know, it's better to eat than not to drink. And my answer has always been, well, no, it's the same action, mm-hmm. actually, you know, and kind of moving away from it. And some of the thoughts in there too is, you know, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm a food addict, and alcohol is just another food group.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now here I am, you know, after trying to do all this work and have a better life, mm-hmm. you know, gaining 100 pounds mm-hmm. back again. And
so this is, I mean, you, the way I hear that is that you managed to quit alcohol. You can do this too. You can work on this too. You can figure this out too. You did it with alcohol. A lot of people don't. A lot of people never figure that out. And you did. You've got something inside of you that you know, figured that out. And you can do this too. With time and support and practice and not, you know, and not doing it, you know, perfectly ever. But you can absolutely work on it. You think you can?
Well, I've been working on it. I mean, I guess where I'm going now is it better to plan it, mm-hmm. to plan a binge on Friday so I have something to look forward to, which I know isn't quite the right wording, or do I just sit there and white knuckle it through abstinence?
Well, you don't want to white knuckle. You want to learn to allow the urge. But for you, it may just be, like I was saying with Lena, or was it Lena or somebody, where I was saying, you know, yeah, where it's like, yeah, I mean, I think you're maybe at a point where you just need to plan it for a while. And it just becomes less exciting when you plan it, right? You know, when you're not just going off the plan, and that's, so I think you're where just, you just need to plan it right where Lena is. And that helps you just be accepting of where you are now. And over time, you probably are not going to look as forward to it as you used to.
Yeah, I just start thinking of all the shame and embarrassment of going to the grocery store every night to get my pint of ice cream, because I have a half a gallon to eat over the week. I'll eat the entire half a gallon in one sitting.
But when it's on the plan and you just, you know, it's just on the plan, you got it. It's just not near as, you know, you won't look as forward to it as you have. So that's where your work is right now.
Okay.
And I just think for you, it's just, and then.
But I have also a great neighbor who will hold on to my box of Twinkies and give me one
a
night.
You got the support, right? And of course, you got the whole tribe. But I also think for you, it's just, you know, thinking about this, like practicing feeling your emotion, where I like to say, like, you just give yourself a teaspoon. Like, just give yourself a teaspoon of loneliness. Like, okay, I feel lonely. I may end up eating, right? I may end up eating to cover up lonely, but right now, for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to sit here and feel lonely and just see how it feels and just be curious about it.
Yeah. And I don't like how it feels.
Yeah. But you can give, I mean, but you could do that for 5 minutes, right? And then if you ended up eating after that, that's okay.
Yeah. And then I deserve that whole half a gallon.
Well, and that may be where you need to start, right? That you may just need to start there, and that's okay. But then over time, your brain kind of starts to think, well, we did 5 minutes of loneliness. Maybe we could do a little bit longer. And then maybe we don't have to reward ourselves eventually for feeling stuff. But it's just for you. It's just meeting yourself where you are. Wherever you are, it's okay. Okay? So I definitely want you to go back and listen to this again.
Okay.
Kind of take notes and do some journaling. And just really just kind of, again, not take any big, huge actions, but just open up your mind to the possibilities and see where your brain goes with it. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. This is a great call. Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank
you. Talk to you later. All right. Bye. All right. Carolyn, Kristen, and Christy. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Last time you coached me on my urges.
Yes.
I've been doing more data digging and more homework on that. So okay. I found out I'm more likely to give in when I'm at home and not at work. So okay. I wasn't quite sure how I felt about that. Because I started trying to watch my thoughts and just kind of like, ooh, I want that. Nobody's looking. I was like, oh, that's not how this works.
Right. You're looking, right?
Yeah. But I still haven't figured out how to throw the brakes when that mm-hmm. happens. Again, I'm far more likely to, I pass and say no 90% more likely at work than I am here at home.
Okay, so what's going on at work that isn't going on at home? Well, how are they different?
It's an offer versus I just see it.
And someone offers it to you at work.
Yes.
Okay.
I think their question prompts the no.
Okay.
But I don't know how to translate that into home.
What if you just, when you had an urge, you said, Carolyn, would you like this? What is it? What do you have urges for at home?
If it's not nailed down, it's going to my mouth. It's just, it can be anything from, you know, there's a really nice peach in the fridge to okay. goldfish in the cabinet to.
Okay. Let's say goldfish. Okay. So what is, when someone offers you something at work, what do they say?
Would you like to try this? It's really good.
Okay. So when you have an urge for goldfish at home, could you just say, Carolyn, you want some of these goldfish? They're really good.
I guess I never thought to talk to myself like that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, it's no different, right? It's not because it's a different person or it's a, you know, someone else. It's, I mean, basically we think because someone else isn't offering it to us that it's somehow different. No. It's the very same thing. We're making a choice to eat something or not. So don't make that making that differentiation, I don't think is helping you.
No, it was something I noticed as I was trying.
Yeah, no, and that's great, right? It's like you want to recognize that you notice that you think it's different, but it's really not, right? You are just making a choice to not eat at work and you're making a choice to eat at home. And you could, and you know, it's like, and basically what you're, okay, let's model this because you're having a thought there. It's not that the person, that's only the circumstance that the person offered or yeah, the person offered you. What is it at work that they offer you?
Oh, you name it. It's a very food driven company. There's cookies, cakes, brownies. Okay. There was biscuits and gravy yesterday and it was
okay. Person offered cookies at work. You want some of these cookies. They're really good, right? We could put that direct quote in the circumstance line. When you, so what do you say when you say no?
No, thank you.
No, thanks. Say no, thanks. So what? So the thing is that there, you know, there's these two lines in the middle here, right? It's not the fact that someone outside of you offered you food. It's that you have a thought and feeling about it. So what are you thinking? Like, okay, Susie at work says, you got to try these cookies. They're so good. What do you think?
they're not on my plan. I have the same thoughts with the goldfish, but I think it's more of sitting with the goldfish is harder. I know that's not a good thought.
Right.
That's the one that came to mind, is that they're still there. They're still, like, once you say no to somebody, they 9 times out of 10 go away. The goldfish are still talking to me sometimes.
But still, goldfish don't talk to you, for starters. But here's the thing. You could go find, if you really wanted those cookies, you'd go find Susie and get a cookie, right? So it's like, or there would be some other food at work. So it's not the fact that someone is offering them to you. I mean, or you could go at work, you could go and find something to eat, right? Food is available to you at work too. So you're using that as a, you know, as an, like.
It's a crutch.
It's like you're using the availability or like the accessibility at home as an excuse, right? When you can absolutely say they're not on the plan at home. When you say, Carolyn, would you like some of these goldfish? They're really good. And you say, nope, they're not on the plan. So how do you feel when you say they're not on the plan?
So again, I'm struggling with the work between home. So at work, it feels like, okay, I'm doing this right. I'm committed. I'm doing this right. And at home, it's kind of like,
Just got to practice thinking the same thing at home.
But I can't figure out why they're different.
But they're not different. That's the thing. They're not different. And you thinking they're different is what's not helping you. You are still you wherever you are, right? You're making this hard. Like you're thinking, when you think home is different, it's harder, right? It's somehow different. No. You're just making one choice at work and one choice at home. And you can absolutely make the same choice that you make at home as at work. But you just, it's just not a, you're more practiced at it at work, right? It's becoming more of a habit for you at work to just say no, thank you. And now you've got to practice that habit at home of telling yourself no, thank you.
So yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah. Because when you think it's different, you think, oh my gosh, I have to come up with a whole strategy for at home. No, you just have to apply what's working at work to home. And that's being, you know, I mean, you're always being accountable to yourself wherever you are, right?
Yes.
And you're always, because again, if you really wanted to eat at work, you could. But you just have you're still thinking that it's the circumstance of being at work that's helping you not eat. No, it's always your thoughts and feelings. You're thinking they're not on the plan and you're feeling just kind of, you know, how do you feel when they're not, like when you're saying, nope, no cookies, they're not on the plan.
I'm not sure. There's some days where it feels like, oh, it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
There's other days where it's like, it's empowering. And then yeah. I think the next action is where I struggle. So I immediately go and distract myself with work at work. And I haven't quite found a similar item to do at home.
Okay. So you feel some discomfort, but you also feel like some empowerment, kind of a combination.
Yes.
And then you say no thanks, but then like right after that, you're saying you kind of distract for a minute because you're feeling discomfort?
Yeah, it feels like at work there's so much more to do. Like there's a bazillion things to do and there's always something I can just dive right into and get in deep with.
And that's another thought, right? That's another thought about how you think that work is different from home. But you could absolutely dive into something at home, right? You get out of the kitchen. You got kids?
No kids. Well, one fur baby. But that's
okay, you got the dog, right? You can love on that dog. Right? Get some of that unconditional love from that dog. Right? I mean, there's, you know, it's, again, it's just like when you think that, well, work is easier, work is different. I'm able to do, it's, that doesn't help you, right?
Yeah.
But ultimately, you don't want to have to distract yourself. You just want to say no thanks and just move on.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah, it's all, you know, it's all practice, right? It's all a practice. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, and, but when we, I mean, even part of the buffering and urges course is, you know, when you're allowing an urge, you can do things that like feel like self-care, like loving on the dog. Right. I think that's a great example of just something that feels like caring to you because you are in an uncomfortable situation. You know, you're feeling some discomfort. And so just do something that feels caring, but doesn't, you know, but isn't eating, right? Isn't giving you negative consequences. So yeah, it's just applying all these same things you do at work to home and really watching your thoughts about, but it's harder at home, but it's different at home, and questioning those. Every time you hear that, questioning those.
That's why I thought it was good to get on today. I was watching it yesterday going, oh, these are not good.
Yeah. Yeah. So just kind of just stay curious with that, where it's like, okay, here's another example where I think it's harder here, but it's not. It's just always about my thoughts and my feelings wherever I am. You know, I am always in control. I'm always empowered. I can be empowered wherever I am.
Thank you, Betsy.
Right. Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. All right, Kristen and Christy, and then we'll probably be done. All right, here we go. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello, let me ask you to start your video. Okay, there you are. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. What's going on?
So I joined the tribe back in April, and I got off to a really good start. And then I had a couple slow months. And then in, I think, August, I actually gained some weight, and I've been maintaining ever since then.
Okay.
And so last month, October was the first month that I really did a good job keeping up with my tracker. And so October is really the first month that I have a whole month's worth of data to look back at. And I've discovered that I've just had a really hard time being consistent. So I'm hoping you can help me with that.
Okay. So why do you think, so kind of what are you struggling with consistency? Just all the four basics or something specific?
So when I look at October, I made a plan 77% of the time, followed it 63% of the time, but only ate 2 to 2, 39% of the time.
Okay.
So I struggle a little bit with everything, but obviously it's the eating 2 to 2 that's what really gets me.
Okay. What's going on there? What happens when you need to stop and you don't?
That's a really good question. I think that, so I know that the days that I don't plan tend to be the weekends. So I kind of get off track on the weekends and then I get back into planning on Monday, but have a hard time getting back into the eating 2 to 2.
Okay.
And so like Monday, Tuesday, I have a hard time sticking to my twos, and then I kind of get back on program Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay. And then it like, I get like kicked off and gone.
Right. So it almost sounds like if you could just get consistent with making a plan every day, no matter what, even if you don't follow it, even if it's not, but you are just making a plan, then that gets your mind right in terms of like, well, we made a plan this weekend, so let's get back at it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I almost think like you start there where it's just like, okay, next month, you know, we're in November.
Mm-hmm.
I am going for, so what was your percentage of making your plan? In
77%.
So like we're going for 80%.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, or, you know, and the rest, if you do higher, that's, you know, gravy.
Yeah.
But okay. We're just going for, I mean, and I think it's good to just to work on one thing at a time. Right. I mean, you know, you can always work on everything, but it's just like, just focus on that for this month.
Okay.
And just say, okay, I'm going to work on making a plan every, you know, every day and try to get to 80%, if not higher.
Yep.
And I just almost think that that will kind of take care of a lot of the, some of this other stuff, because you're basically like beating yourself up because you didn't make a plan on the weekend.
Yeah.
So then you're like, well, okay, then I just might as well not do this. Might as well, you know, it's just, it's like a slippery slope.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, okay. So like it's Wednesday, right? Weekend's coming.
Yep.
So what's, you know, do you, are you going to make a plan? What do you think is going to hold you back from making that plan? Why don't you make a plan now on the weekend?
So I think part of it is just that my sort of weekly routine is different on the weekends, obviously. I have less like chores that I have to do in the evenings on the weekend. And so I spend that time, you know, relaxing with my husband and that sort of thing. And I don't think to build making a plan into that time.
Right.
Like during the week when it's kind of part of my evening wind down routine.
Right. I mean, you're just basically like, so weekends and your action is you don't make a plan.
Yep.
Basically what's going on is, you know, you just said a lot of different thoughts, like it's different, right? It's different. I mean, it can literally just be that, like, oh, but it's different on the weekend.
Right.
And that could be just what is keeping you from, you know, and basically what that means is it's harder. I don't know how to do it differently on the weekend. But then you even gave me some more thoughts about how, you know, your husband and, you know, you don't have as many chores and blah, blah, blah. Right. And you're, and you know, you might have a thought like this is a chore.
Right.
You know, you've just got some thoughts about the weekend that you got to clean up.
Yeah.
That will result in you making a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you need to feel about the weekend, or how do you need to think about the weekend to make a plan?
I think I just need to think that it's not any different than a weekday.
Right. Yeah. And I always like to remind everyone when I'm on a camera that weekends are 30% of your week.
Yeah.
Right. If you really count basically like Friday to Sunday, I mean, it's a chunk, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is not just a couple of days. And so it's not any different, right? And then, but you also, you know, and, but it would be good to kind of reframe it into like a positive, like,
right.
You know, this is, I want to continue to lose weight through the weekend and those kind of things. You can do some journaling on that and really come up with, you know, a bunch of thoughts,
right. Yeah.
About that you want to think about the weekend and that, you know, and this is your opportunity. Like I was doing with somebody else, you know, this is your opportunity to practice, you know, making plans on different days, right?
Yeah.
And you know, those kind of things. So how do you feel when it's like, when you say it's not any different?
It feels routine.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I mean, just.
It feels comfortable.
Yeah. Right. It doesn't have that drama attached to it.
Right.
Or the hard, you know, the hard or the just, you know,
right.
It's just like, okay, this is just what I do. I make a plan every day.
Yep.
You just take the drama out. And so the result is that it's not any different. You know, you prove to yourself that you always make a plan no matter what the day is. And that's what you do.
Yeah.
So, but again, I want you to, you know, kind of really get your story out right now about the weekend. That's resulting in you not making the plan and question that story, you know, all of that story.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, I think that naturally that will just clean up a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
You're because I mean, it's, you don't have to get back on plan on Monday. You've been on plan all weekend.
Right.
And so it's not a process of having to get back on plan every week.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
All right. Thanks, Betsy.
Okay, good. All right. Talk to you later. Okay.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Bye.
All right, Christy, you're up last. Come on. Okay. Corinne has this fancy mouse, y'all, and I just do not know how to use it. Okay.
Okay. I'm unmuted by host. How do I make a picture?
Okay. I'm going to ask you to start your video. There you are.
Hey, I did it.
You did it.
Yes. Okay. So I'm terrified to be here, but I'm here. So
you're here. You did it.
Super bonus points.
Yes. You can say that you, what is one thing that went right today in your planner? You got on a call, right? You did it.
Yes. It will be listed under exactly.
Okay, good.
It will be listed as my big thing I did today.
Awesome.
So I'm working really, really hard on finding my negative two and on waiting until then to eat. And basically all the food is on the plan. And I list for my 24-hour plan anything I might possibly even consider might want to eat.
Love it.
But where I'm getting tripped up is like it's lunchtime and I want my snack, which I've written less than 5 candies, but I'm tripping under good food, bad food.
But are you hungry? Let me ask you that first. Are you hungry?
I'm waiting till my negative two to eat. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So that's no question number one.
On the plan under snack.
Listen, if it's on the plan, it's not, I mean, first off, there's never any good or bad food, but if it's on the plan, it's really not bad, right? It's just food. It's on the plan. Why do you think it's bad?
Because it's sugar and sugar is bad for you. And if you have too much sugar, you won't get you what you want. And if you don't eat healthy, it's old diet mentality. That's mm-hmm. really tripping me.
Yeah. And so for you, it's like you got to just prove to yourself that no food is good or bad. I'm going to eat this. It's on my plan, right? It's like, you know, it's this process of leveling up. But right now you're just totally into realistic planning and eating, you know, meeting yourself where you are and eating what you, you know, what you want to eat right now. And so it's just, it's for you. It's just a matter of like through action, you prove your new thought true of no. This is what I'm choosing to eat.
Yeah, because I'm working really hard on just proving I can do what the hell I say I'm going to do.
That is just exactly what realistic planning is all about.
It's been really, really hard just to fucking wait till hungry to eat.
Right, right. Yes, and so you're doing it, right? You're doing the work.
Usually I can get to negative one or negative two 3 to 4 times out of the day. It's not 100%, but that's okay.
You're working on it.
Exactly.
Right.
But
you said it was candy, right? Candy on the plan.
Yep. The candy's on the plan.
And so right now you're thinking it's bad, it's healthy, it's not going to get me to my goals and all this kind of stuff. And it's like,
it's junk, it's sugar, it's not good for my body.
It's, you know, I mean, it's my choice right now. It's, you know, it's like, why would you want to, you know, you're doing this right, right? You are doing this right. You're doing this program right. You are starting with realistic planning, meeting yourself where you are. So why would you want to beat yourself up over your realistic choices?
Because I'm up two from where I'm started, haven't lost any weight at all. And
but you know you're going to lose weight.
I'm going to get there.
You're going to get there. I know you do. I can, you know, I can hear it in your voice. Like I can just, it's like, you know, that you're doing what you need to do, but you have a little voice. You have a little voice in your head. Like, you know, you have that doubt where it's just like, could this really work? And it's up to you again, through action of, you know, following the plan, right? So, and what I mean by following the plan is that you follow your hunger scale, but you just eat what you planned when you get hungry. And so
right
for
now,
you,
I'm only following the negative side. I'm not even attempting that.
Okay. And you know, and you're taking one step at a time, which is all absolutely awesome, right? I wish that we had more folks who didn't try to do everything at one time.
I tried. I failed spectacularly, made a mess, and I'm cleaning it up.
And that's the way it works. right? We talk about failing up, right? You're failing up on a daily basis. And that's the way that this process works, is that you learn, you either succeed or you learn from your, you know, you don't even have to call it failures, but you learn from your mistakes. And so you're doing it.
If it comes, you eat breakfast and then it comes lunchtime, but you want to eat your snack, as long as it's on the plan, just eat the snack, even though it's not lunch.
Are you hungry?
Yes.
As long as you are following your hunger scale, you can eat.
Now, last night I got into it because I ate my dinner and then I ate my candies immediately after.
Mm-hmm. So you were already at your plus two from dinner?
I haven't figured out my plus any.
Okay. So, I mean, I think for you, it's like, if you ever have any question that maybe you overate, to do a recovery worksheet. I mean, and learn from it, right? Figure out what you were like, what were you thinking when you decided to eat that dessert?
And it's the recovery worksheet because you overate and possibly ate too much, not because they were candy.
Right. Doesn't matter what it was. It could be like extra broccoli. It could be extra carrots. You know, it does not matter what the food is. It's basically if you didn't follow your hunger scale and you're still working on your plus two, but right, I mean, it's just like, if you think that you ate more than you needed to, just do a recovery worksheet, see what you can learn from it.
Get into that habit of
not seeing the recovery worksheet as a punishment or as something that you know, you have to do, right? See it as a gift to you that you can learn from.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you are doing this. So it's just, you know, it's almost like, I don't even like it's my choice. I like I'm doing this program. What is it? How do you want to feel about doing this?
My ultimate goal is to thrive, not just to survive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm tired of surviving. I want to thrive.
And having candy on your plan right now is part of you thriving. I'm thriving. You believe that?
The diet, old diet mentality is stuck on candy is bad for you. How can
and so for you, it just may be like, okay, I'm working on believing that I am thriving through this, you know, through this process.
I'm working on believing any food is just fuel.
Any food is just food, right? Any food is just a choice. Any food can be fuel for you right now. I mean, you can absolutely believe that if you want to. How do you feel when you think all that stuff?
When I think that I'm learning to thrive, mm-hmm. it feels empowering. It feels good. It helps me to brainstorm.
Yeah. You get curious, right? About what, you know, maybe little ways that you could level up. Right? But not too quickly, not too drastically, but just small changes here and there. Right? And it's just like when you believe that you're enough, you're doing enough right now, when you let go of the judgment of, oh, I should be doing more, this food is bad, all that kind of stuff, then it opens up your mind to, okay, you know, maybe I'll just keep doing what I'm doing for a while, and that's okay. Whatever I'm doing right now is okay. When you let go of that judgment, it opens up your mind to all kinds of different possibilities.
That's the trick I'm getting stuck on the judgment.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. You got to just, when you hear it come in, say, nope, nope, we're not doing that today. We're thriving today. And I'm thriving today by making a realistic plan, meeting myself where I am, and making small level ups over time.
That's the, I'm having a thought. It's just a thought. I don't have to believe it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how you do the work. Just, you know, redirecting over and over and over again. It's just a thought. Just a thought. I'm thriving today. You know, and it's.
And the internal, eventually the weight will come.
Yeah. And eventually that voice will get quieter, right? it may not ever go away, but when you quit listening to it, quit reacting to it, and you just practice new thoughts instead, then yeah, that voice becomes more quiet. Yeah. And you just keep staying in action, right? Keep following that realistic plan.
Oh, I'm not going to fucking quit. No.
Yeah. And you certainly don't quit.
No, we don't quit. I filled out plans in reverse, going best as I can remember, next page.
Yes. Great. Love it.
By learning to listen to the negative side of my hunger skill, mm-hmm. can you eventually teach your body to give you better cues?
Well, basically, your body doesn't give you better cues. You learn to listen to your body better. And so, yeah, so the more that you practice, allowing yourself to get hungry, even getting to like a -3 or -4, just out of curiosity, right? Like, and not being scared that you're going to, pass out or whatever, but you just, with curiosity, you let yourself go there. You get really curious about how you feel. Then you absolutely learn more about, just like with your +2, you have to go beyond your -2 to really figure out what your -2 is. And so, yeah, so you just got to stay curious with it and play with it. And then you'll just learn to recognize more signals.
Yeah. And your -2 is literally where you think it is on the scale, and it does change.
Yeah, it changes. There's different symptoms and, different signals on different days. But I mean, you basically just have to come to a point where it's like, okay, I think I'm at my -2 right now. Like I'm kind of getting there right now. For tonight, for dinner. And so, yeah, it's just, it's just really kind of coming from a place of trust for your body and knowing that it's never going to be a perfect system or a perfect process, but just trusting your body and knowing that that you can trust it and can, listen to the signals and then eat when you're ready. Yeah. So it's just a process, kind of trial and error.
Okay. It's hard to have trust in my body because it felt like we've been at war.
Yeah. Yeah. And that takes time, right? That's a process. That just takes time to kind of, that's a practice, right? That's been so much of this call tonight. It's just been like, okay, I just have to practice. I mean, that's a thought that I trust my body, right? That's another thought that you can practice. So I'm working on believing that, I trust my body, that my body will tell me when I need fuel and when I need to stop eating, eventually and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
I will listen to this call again.
Okay. Yes, please do. Okay. All righty. All right, y'all. Such interesting calls today. Let's see, what have we got going on today? So Kathy tomorrow evening is doing the Q&A. It's going to be at 5. So it's going to be kind of at a different time. And cause we changed up some of the call times this month, just to try kind of a new schedule. So be sure and check the calendar. She's doing the Q&A tomorrow. And then Corinne will be posting her weekend motivator every Friday, like we usually do. And so just check the calendar for the rest of the calls. And I think that's it. So we are going to get back to planning OBS tomorrow in the next few days for you guys. And of course we'll be around, but yeah, so we will see you all again soon. All right. Take care. Bye.